No, he told himself sternly. But her quarters are closer to the docking port than mine, he argued with himself. What of it? The other part of his mind answered. You've timed it all out. You'll be able to get to the ship from your own quarters with minutes to spare. He knew he should avoid the temptation. Still, it was a struggle. He went to his quarters, glanced up at the unblinking red light of the security camera at the end of the passageway, opened his door, and stepped inside. Now you stay here until 12:01, he told himself.
The working shift in the control center changed at midnight. Usually the incoming crew began filtering in ones and twos a few minutes before the hour. As the relief crew started showing up at the control center, one of the observers at the security console frowned at a set of red lights that appeared suddenly on his board. Damn, he said to the woman sitting next to him. Cameras are down in sections 14 and 15. You've had trouble with them before, haven't you? She said. Last friggin' week, he replied, tapping at his keyboard. Guess I'll have to roust maintenance. And security, the woman reminded him. There's a special security watch in those sections. Yeah, right. He frowned. They're gonna love getting goosed at midnight. The woman shrugged. You've gotta do it. Regulations. Can't leave the surveillance cameras down. He gave her a sour look. Like somebody's gonna steal something while the cameras are down. Most people are sleeping this time of night. It's regulations, she repeated. He reached for the communications link to the maintenance department, grumbling. If I don't report it, I'll catch hell. The woman pushed her chair back and got to her feet. Let the next shift call it in. Let them listen to the bitchin'. At that moment, his relief sauntered over to the console, grinning casually. Are you going to stay for my shift? I'll go back to bed, then. The man hopped to his feet. Not bloody likely. I'm leaving. The cameras are down in 14 and 15 again. Again? Said the relief observer, sliding into the warm chair. We had trouble with them last week. You call maintenance? Not yet. It's all yours, pal. Thanks a lot. You gotta call security, too, you know. Have fun. Shit.
It was a mistake, Victor thought, to try to keep the man in charge of building this habitat from getting away. I know all the systems and how to finagle around them. The only question was timing. How long would it take the maintenance crew to bring the cameras back up? How quickly would security send a team to check on him? Victor hurried past the dead camera up on the ceiling of the passageway and made his way to the docking ports. The security guard at the entrance to the ports was frowning at the blank screen on his desk. What's the trouble? Victor asked him. Dunno. Goddamn screen just went blank on me. I can't get anything on it. The system's gone down before, said Victor. It usually comes up again in a few minutes. Yeah, the guard said, his voice thin with uncertainty. Victor stepped around the desk to the seated guard's side. Mr. Zacharias, the guard said uncertainly, you're not supposed to be in this area, you know. I know, I just thought I could help you with your screen. Why did it have to go bluey just when I start my shift? The guard grumbled. I can't get any calls, in or out. Let me have a look at it. Victor took in a deep breath, then chopped at the back of the guard's neck as hard as he could. The man slid out of his chair, banged his chin on the desktop, and slumped to the floor. Sorry, Victor muttered. He dashed up the passageway that led to the docking ports, undogging the hatch that led into Pleiades' main airlock. He rushed straight to the ship's bridge, slipped into the command chair, and began powering up the ship's systems. No alarms yet. Good, he thought. Even if maintenance gets the cameras back on, there's nothing for them to see in the passageways. I'm okay until the guard comes to. So far, so good. Now comes the tricky part. Victor had filed a departure plan for Pleiades with the habitat's flight control computer several days earlier. The flight controllers normally were not in the same loop as the surveillance cameras or security guards. Normally, they seldom talked to one another. Victor hoped this was a normal night. He had made certain that all the maintenance and repair work on the ship had been completed. Gina Madagascar had no intention of leaving Chrysalis II for another week, he knew. She had offered to take Victor with her to search for his family for 6 months. Victor knew it would take longer than that, and he didn't want Chyna or any other distractions on the ship when he started out on his search. So he had updated Chyna's own departure plan, hoping that the human flight controllers wouldn't ask the ship's captain why she had changed her departure date. Sitting in the command chair, Victor took a deep breath, swiftly reconfigured the electronic keyboard to handle the communication system, then pecked at the keys once they lit up. "Chrysalis Flight Control, this is Pleiades," he said. "Ready for departure." A wait that seemed endless. Then, "Pleiades, you're 12 seconds behind your schedule." "So sue me," he growled. The flight controller chuckled. "Okay, let me check you out. Right. Okay, you are cleared for undocking." "Undocking," he said, tapping the controls. He felt the ship shudder as it was released from the grapples that held it to the habitat's dock. "Initiate separation maneuver," said the flight controller. "Initiating separation," Victor confirmed. Jets of cold gas nudged Pleiades away from the dock. "We need the captain to request final departure clearance," the flight controller said. Voice print identification, Victor knew. He tugged out the palm-sized digital recorder he had been carrying in his coverall pocket. It had taken him weeks of talking with Chyna and editing her words to get the message right. "Pleiades standing by for departure clearance," said Chyna Madagascar's voice. It sounded stilted to Victor. Herky-jerky. But the voice print identification computer was not programmed to analyze the cadence of speech, merely the frequency pattern of the voice that was speaking. A wait that seemed endless. Then, "Pleiades, you are clear for departure," said the flight controller. "Pleiades on burn," Victor said. He clicked off the communications link, lit the ship's main fusion engine, then howled an utterly triumphant yazoo as Pleiades headed out into the belt.
Attack ship Viking, Weapons Bay. Yuan studied his first mate's beefy face as they checked the laser's double row of capacitor banks. The man was clearly unhappy, troubled. "What's the matter, Coop?" The first mate's name was Kahalu'u Kaupekulu'a. Everybody on the ship called him Coop. "Nothing," he answered. He was almost as tall as Yuan, but much broader in girth, built like a fleshy brick. Before meeting Coop, Yuan had thought of Hawaiians as smiling, gracious souls, always relaxed and contented. Coop was just the opposite, moody, dark, always looking worried. The weapons bay was narrow, its overhead so low that Yuan hunched over as he squeezed through the equipment that crammed the compartment. With the blocky Hawaiian in it, the bay seemed on the verge of bursting. "Don't try to con me," Yuan said, keeping his tone light. "We're alone in here. Nobody's going to hear you. What's eating you?" Coop wouldn't meet his eyes. "I don't want you to think I'm trying to second-guess you," he said. His voice was a soft, gentle tenor. "You're not after my job?" Yuan joked. The Hawaiian's eyes flashed wide. "No, honest. I just..." His voice trailed off. "You just what?" Yuan asked, trying to hide the irritation growing inside him. "Do I have to drag it out of you?" he wondered silently. "This business of running away," Coop said.
"Running away?"
"Well, maybe not running away, but, I mean... how's it going to look back at headquarters? We were on his track, and then we backed off." Yuan edged past the laser's copper mirror mounting as he replied, "Why should we go chasing all over the belt when we can make him come to us? We were on his track, and he spoofed us with an empty suit. So now we're heading for a spot he'll come to, and we're baiting a trap for him. With empty suits. That's right. According to the crystal ball readers from headquarters, he's out there picking up bodies from all the battles he fought in during the war. Must be crazy with guilt or something."
"Or something," Coop muttered.
"So we'll give him some bodies to find."
"Decoys," said Coop.
"Bait." Coop shook his blocky head slowly. "I don't know.
Most of the crew thinks it's a mistake. You've been talking.